This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
An enraged, unhinged Tim Kirkchian.
What?
Billy, before I get to this sound, because you guys are all of a sudden baseball fans, I can't believe what's happened around here. I need to give America the history of Marlins baseball, but there has been betrayal after betrayal down here. I got into an argument with the commissioner of the sport, who you've now all seen undressed in public in front of you, about how Marlins baseball has been treated down here, how poorly this community has been treated by this baseball team. And it took a pandemic and four games. But Chris comes in here today saying, Dan, are you Marlin? Billy says, I think the Marlins might make the playoffs. And Stugatz comes in and says, who's not rooting for the Marlins? So wait a minute. Like, I need to understand what's happening around here, because it has been decades of betrayals, decades of mistrust that has killed baseball in this market and made it an embarrassment that echoes from sea to shining sea. And it took four bleeping games for the three of you to come running back?
No, that's what I'm, of course, typical you being negative on the Marlins. It's not just four games that they've endured, Dan. This team has gone through it. Now, did they do it to themselves? Quite possibly they did it to themselves going out to get coffee.
They literally did it to themselves.
Well, yeah, but Dan, they've been through it. They packed their bags when they went for those two final spring training summer camp games in Atlanta for a six-day road trip. And what have they been met with? 24 days that they're going to be on the road before they come home. 11 games quarantined in a hotel. They're not going to have their first game until August 14th. Dan, they lost like 18 players, like 12 bullpen arms. They have to just be bringing up people, signing people's scraps, bringing in anyone they can, making a quilt out of players, getting patches and weaving them together in this beautiful quilt, this tapestry of ball players who were outcast. And where do we find ourselves today? I don't know why I'm saying ourselves as if I'm part of this team, but I could be part of this team if I was, you know,
all right.
One more person gets sick, I may be on the team.
All right.
Where are they right now,
shut
Dan?
Up.
Great question.
Right, shut up.
First
no,
place.
Shut up.
That's
listen,
where the Marlins
listen,
are.
Shut up.
All
shut right?
out.
Just, this is why you're the lamest, and I need him to settle down very badly, because we finally found something in sports that has engaged Billy. They've given him four bleeping games, and now he's walking around. He's sensually aroused. He's aggressive. He's come running back to this team's bosom, the guy who takes off every opening day.
No.
After four, but don't tell me no.
No.
After
no.
four bleeping games, let me list for you right now. This is the team that beat the Orioles last night. These were their transactions just yesterday. Okay, because Billy didn't know 20 of the players out there. There had to be Don Mattingly didn't know some of the players that were playing for him last night. Like, it's totally absurd that this team beats the Orioles, who, by the way, put this on the poll, Guillermo, at Le Batard Show. Have the Orioles been down 4-0 for two decades?
Yes. Mattingly said, Donnie Baseball, that he met half the team for the first time last night. And that's why I'm saying, who's not rooting for this team? They are one of two teams remaining in Major League Baseball with just one loss. Granted, they haven't played as many games, but them and the New York Yankees. How about that?
All right. The Yankees are off to their best start in the history of the team, and that team's done some winning. They're off to their best start, and only the Marlins. Go ahead, Billy. Go ahead.
So might the Marlins, by the way. So might the Marlins be off to their best start. Dan, you can only play the games on your schedule that haven't been canceled because your entire team got a virus, that it spread itself because of coffee. Everybody knows that. It's been said for ages. All they can do is play the games that have been scheduled that they haven't gotten canceled. Dan, why do you have to be like this? Why can't you just be happy for the Marlins? Look, let's be real, okay? They have eight more games before they come home, all of which are on the road, right? After this series, they have another series, and then they're going to play the Braves. And the Braves are really, really good. I don't know if you've caught on to that. So this isn't realistically going to last forever.
Right.
But if we can tread water, Dan.
Shut up.
Until
again,
we get back,
again,
everybody's
again,
healthy.
Just
again.
Shut up, all right? Just, I don't know where to quarantine you, but you need to go away for a while, okay? Because, Stugatz, I can't handle this. I cannot handle this today. We've been having this show about the Marlins since Emilio Bonifacio opening day.
Oh, had remember an, that?
You,
know, oh.
you guys,
five
you,
for five.
I mean. You guys told me, yeah, inside the park home run, you guys told me that Emilio Bonifacio was going to lead to the Marlins winning championships for years based on that first game, and you guys haven't been this excited since then. I haven't seen you one time this excited.
I'm sorry, Dan, but that happened in April. All I know right now is it's August and the Marlins are in first place. So you need to just zip it up and let us have today.
Check the standings, Dan. The Marlins are in first place, even though they're a game behind the Braves.
Please tell me a 3-1 start is the greatest start in Marlins history. Please tell
Stugatz, I want the audience to understand, Stugatz, like, think about this, okay? For 20 years in this town, the only one who has won is Dwayne Wade. For 20 years. Like, all of our teams, look at what the Panthers just did in the playoffs. They get into the playoffs.
2003 happened.
Hold on a second. Hold on. That was when Dwayne Wade started. Dwayne Wade started right then. And after that, only Dwayne Wade won in this town. And the Marlins, they disassembled that team and they fractured the relationship with the city because they won the title. Don't argue with me, Billy. You've talked enough this segment. Let me finish my point. Like, why is it that you insist on yammering here? Like,
yeah, I don't know if you've heard of this LeBron James character that came in and carried Dwayne Wade for a couple of years.
Okay, very good. regardless, the Dolphins win nothing. The Panthers win nothing. Look at them. Already bounced out of the playoffs. They only got into the playoffs. They've always been 5 points out of the final playoff spot. They only got there because of a pandemic and an unprecedented rule.
They're only down 0-2 in the series of a best of five.
That's, I mean, all right. They get into the playoffs a bogus way, and they're already out of the playoffs. It's just all of it. So nobody's won down here. The Dolphins have been terrible. The Hurricanes have been terrible. We have been starved, and Billy has been bitter baseball fan, angry baseball fan. He shook a fist at Jeter. He hated that team publicly. He then got scared of their public relations department and started loving that team publicly again because he wants to ingratiate himself to Marlins management so that opening day could be something that is in his forever future as a day off because he's a Marlins dope. Four bleeping games, you guys come running back. All of you, you frauds, you bogus frauds when it comes to sports fandom, that all it takes is four games to erase decades of betrayal for you.
Dan, I don't know if you're paying attention, but again, a 3-1 start in a 60-game shortened season. It's anyone's game. It's anyone's division. Quite frankly, it's anyone's World Series. Why not us? Why not the Florida Marlins?
Us?
Why not us?
Why not us?
Why not us?
Yeah.
What this ignores is that for Stugatz, us is the Mets.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Last place.
All right, I feel I need to apologize to the audience a little bit here, Stugatz, and even though what I'm going to say is sort of business understandable. Like, you just saw made public Disney's losses for the quarter because our parent company is getting hit from every single angle. So I understand why it is that you're reading so many damn things, advertising so many damn things on our show that we feel like a cheapened NASCAR. I know that that's what's happening now. It could feel like that. We've got less room to move. What I'm telling you is, on August 17th, we will have a lot more room to move. And so you will get a version of our show that is inevitably freer because there are things happening right now that are super confining to the way that we can do the radio show. So I'm telling you that on August 17th, we're coming out with something that's going to be a lot of fun because there's going to be a lot more room to roam. We're kind of getting squeezed here in a way that is diluting the radio show in a way I don't really like very much and usually don't talk about, but we're going to fix it regardless of what's happening. And I'm not any happier than you are that Stugatz has to read so many damn ads, but it's kind of where we are in terms of, you know, money grabbing all over a pandemic where everyone is doing it.
I do understand it in defense of ESPN. I do get it because I get the times. I've run a radio station before, and sometimes you got to do what you got to do. This is a lot. There is no question about it. But we are in strange, weird times right now. And as Dan pointed out, we'll have all the room we want in a couple of weeks, and we are very much looking forward to that.
Yeah, because it's going to be a big win for our audience. It really is, because it's just going to feel a little more unshackled. Speaking of which, have you ever seen this Tim Kirkchian before, Billy? Is this a – I know that every once in a while on our show, we tell him to keep his temper down and stop with all of the rage, but you were telling me that there's some sound here of Tim Kirkchian talking about what, where. This is just unhinged Tim Kirkchian.
And Tim Kirkchian might be one of the nicest people that I've ever met and that any of us have ever met and that is in our lives. We have him on once a week. He talks to us about baseball. We do the looks like game with him. Occasionally, though, you guys push his buttons and we see a Tim Kirkchian that we're not used to, where he gets very angry and short at some point in time, where he'll just kind of snap at you and he'll say, Dan. And then he'll just like, whoa,
yes,
Tim,
yes,
relax.
It is like seeing a teacup Maltese enraged. Like that's one of those tiny little Paris Hilton dogs baring its teeth.
Yeah. Well, Dan, in baseball, it's been a trying time. And, you know, some might say that Rob Manfred has had some missteps over this period of time. But Tim is a very respectful person. He never be someone that would go after a commissioner publicly and spit hot fire at him. Or so I thought. Then I heard this sound.
I know several players that I talked to were at best confused by what the commissioner said, because clearly the players are ones in peril right now, not to mention everyone who's at the ballpark every day. It's not just the players. We understand that. But it became more about the commissioner. I'm not a quitter. I mean, I'm not sure exactly where that came from and what he was trying to say. I know he was trying to say, we're going to try to bring this game through, which is great, but this can't be about him. It has to be the players and the people on the front line, the people who are actually risking things by going out and playing. So I think it should have been more about the game and less about himself, and that's what confused me a little bit also.
Jesus.
Oh, my
God.
Relax, Tim.
Holy bleep. What a character smear. Are you?
My eyebrows.
Holy. When Tim Kirkchian comes out of Stugatz, this used to happen with the great dignity of the columnist Edwin Pope. He wrote with such grace. When he criticized you in print, it was different than when I did it or when Greg Cody did it, because we're buffoons. Right. He had grace and charm. When Tim Kirkchian is going after the commissioner of the sport, honest to God, Manfred, you do not love that sport as much as Tim Kirkchian loves that sport. You absolutely do not. Like, I'm sorry, but
Kirkchian should be commissioner.
Should be, and you know, put that on the poll, Guillermo. Yes. Should Kirkchian be the commissioner of baseball? Because he would handle things with total decency.
It's one thing when you go after the commissioner, Dan. It's another thing when Tim Kirkchian is telling the commissioner, you got to risk it to get the biscuit.
Thank you, Billy. He's so right, though. Kirkchian is so right. Manfred saying, I'm not a quitter. You know what he is saying, right? He's really greedy. The Marlins are going to field a team with people who seem like they're fans in uniforms. We're not going to know any of the players. We're four games into the season. Of course they're going to get to the end of the season. They're just going to keep dumping bodies in uniforms, even if your janitor is playing in place of Aaron Judge for the Yankees.
Yeah, but Manfred not quitting means that the Marlins won't quit either. And so, Dan, I actually like what he said there. What he was trying to do, he made it about himself. That's okay occasionally. But he's trying to rally the troops. Hey, I'm the commissioner of baseball. I'm fine if we don't play a game. I'm fine if I never work another day in my life. But I am going to work to get this thing right, because we are going to get through this 60-game season.
No, Stugatz,
I am not quitting.
No, Stugatz, listen to me, okay? I am not a quitter is code for him not being able to say publicly, we're going to take every damn dollar, even if we have to put your grandparents at shortstop. Like, we're going to keep grabbing dollars, and it's not going to matter that what the Marlins put on the field is 18 new guys.
So what he meant is, I'm not going to quit taking your money.
They've got an entire minor league system of guys out of work. Like yeah, they could just crawl to the finish line, just replacing every team that goes to a casino.
But that's what we're saying. That's why they're America's team. Everyone has to be rooting for this Marlins team. They got their biggest series with the Braves coming up, biggest series since the 03 World Series. I mean, Don Mattingly met half his team for the first time last night during a victory. Everyone needs to be rooting for this team. Guest on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Here's your SportsCenter update. The Nets, who closed as consensus 19-point underdogs, beat the Bucks 119-116 on Tuesday in the largest point spread upset since the Mavericks beat the Supersonics at 19.5-point underdogs in 1993. In the past 30 seasons, teams favored by 19 or more were 49-2 straight up entering Tuesday's game.
Can you guys look up for me what that would have paid on the money line if you had bet Brooklyn last night, money line to win the game, plus 19.5 over the Bucks?
We'll look it up. No Giannis or Chris Middleton in the second half there. So Roger Penske has reversed course and decided not to allow fans at the Indianapolis 500 later this month. And finally, exercising twice a week can sharpen your memory and prevent dementia, according to research released by the American Academy of Neurology. Just twice a week. Get on it, Dan. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Put it on the poll, please, Guillermo, at Le Batard Show. Do you personally owe Mello an apology? Yes or no? Because there were a lot of people last night enjoying taking a victory lap with Mello, who I did not know were with Mello, because all I heard around Mello was laughter in retirement. And now all of a sudden, skinny Mello is making dagger three-pointers to beat Houston. And everyone is saying, I get to run on the victory lap with skinny Mello. And I don't feel like anybody was running behind him 6 months ago.
No one was. And if they were, you wouldn't be able to see him. But Mello has lost a ton of weight, as you pointed out. He looks shredded. And I'm telling you, I got my eye in the bubble, Dan. They're just a game and a half out of the playoffs. They might have this little series coming up with the Memphis Grizzlies where there is no home court. And you have Mello in good shape and Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. And Nurkic, who is now healthy, watch out for the Blazers, who, I remind you, went to the Western Conference Finals a year ago.
Serious sports take.
Yes. The Nets were plus 1,300 last night.
Wow.
So you bet $100 on the money line, and you win, what is it? You win.
It was 13-1 odds, essentially, is what.
If you had the Nets and you bet $100, you won $1,300 last night.
Not worth it. I would have not.
I agree.
You need to totally give me more agree. Than that. That's yes. If that's a dumb bet for me, even if it's a value bet. I'm going to bet $100 on something to happen that hasn't happened in the sports in 3 decades tonight, and you're only going to give me 13-1. You can go to hell.
Now, if I told you, say hi to Art Briles when you get there. If I told you in this if I told you in the second half, Giannis and Middleton were going to sit. Whoa, that was undeserved. Twice I did it. You're right. Giannis and Middleton were going to sit. Would you think differently about that bet? If I told you before the game, Giannis, Middleton, no second half, perhaps you would put $100 on
that. What just happened to Stugatz? I want to understand why all of a sudden, for the first time during the pandemic, you wanted to roar up and give us Blazer takes. Like, what just happened?
Sports are back.
Is that what happened? Because I can't believe your level of enthusiasm for pointing a sausage finger at me and saying, watch out for the Blazers to make some noise in the playoffs.
And I also gave you a little reminder that they were a team that made it all the way to the Western Conference Finals a year ago.
It wasn't a little reminder. What was the phrase you used? Need I remind you? You were being put out by, look, I need to explain to you how the Blazers are actually much better. So what you're doing, Stugatz, you realize, after months and months of making fun of Mello, you just got in the same line I was making fun of people for getting in the line behind Mello.
Yeah, you're right. And there was no reason to point that out. No one was countering what it is I was saying, but I felt one coming. And that's why I felt the need to point it out. I felt one coming from you. And so I was just reminding you before you had a chance to come back at me. Sports!
It was bad. It was bad. I wish I had the last 4 minutes of my life back as Stugatz decided that he was going to go 8 seeds. I want to talk 8 seeds. Who's going to get into the playoffs and possibly get dismantled by the Lakers or make some surprising noise? Because Skinny Mello is someone I want to follow into the breach.
I made a promise to you a week or two ago, went to the entire show, and keep my eye on the bubble. Dan, this is me keeping my eye on the bubble. Okay, that's what I'm doing.
Well, Billy, what can we tell people? Is there anything that we can tell people about how our movement to nowhere, our marching band to nowhere, is trying to get Stugatz, a rabid Heat fan who's actually a Knicks fan, on the virtual scoreboard during an upcoming Heat game? Have we made any progress in that regard? Do we have a target date? When should people be watching games to see if Stugatz is in the stands?
I am 85% sure, without betraying any confidences, that it's happening on Monday night. Stugatz will be in the bubble for the Pacers and Heat game in the digital crowd.
Whoa!
85%.
Whoa, that's a marching band to 85% of somewhere.
Yes, which is 85% is T.J. Warren's shooting percentage since we went to the bubble. There has not been a better player.
He's unstoppable. He's
unbelievable.
Ever since you said T.J. Warren can give you 45 points a night, all of a sudden T.J. Warren is making threes from everywhere, and he's scoring 30 points every game.
To clarify, the 15% of uncertainty here, because I'm fairly certain in the way that this was done, forms were filled out, people were talked to.
Oh, no,
wait a
minute. I
think we're good. The 15% is on Stugatz.
It's Stugatz. Oh, no. Yeah.
The 15% is on Stugatz not going or not showing up or not figuring out how to do it or something. Whoa, that's where my 15% is at.
Did I fill out, when you sent me the form, did I immediately fill out what you asked me to fill out? Am I taking this seriously, at least thus far?
Yes. Okay. Yes. However, we've been down this road before. You filled out the form, which was easy for you to do. It was an email link. You just did what I told you to do. You clicked the game. You put in the thing. You signed the thing. You sent it away. Now, the problem comes Monday evening, when you're going to have to sign in to do this at whatever the time is, that it's 7:30 or it's 7, then all of a sudden there's some sort of lacrosse practice or this or that. So that's where I'm a little concerned.
All right, hold on a second. Please help me with this. Billy, neurotic, scared Billy, the hood ornament on the marching band to nowhere. Nothing ever gets accomplished around here. You are telling me in the audience, you are guaranteeing us by percentage that this is a thing that will happen on Monday if everyone can just count on Stugatz to get there. You are guaranteeing that this will happen. You're putting it all on Stugatz. If it does not happen, it is only the fault of Stugatz betraying our audience, betraying the Heat, betraying the NBA. Stugatz now has this pressure on him. You're telling me he's the only reason we would not see this on Monday.
I'm saying the work has been done on the front end. The right people have been notified. They have then notified other people who need to be notified. And I do believe that it is up to Stugatz just showing up to make it happen.
All right, can we take bets on this? Because I've got an email going out about an hour before game time on Monday. Guys, I'm trying. I should be back in time. Billy, you might need to sign in and be the fan for the first quarter. I promise, buddy, I'll be there by the second quarter.
Now, it's an 8 o'clock start. It's a little bit late, and I would disappoint all of you, everyone, including Dan, on, you know, as it relates to this, but you are discounting the one person I would never disappoint who is playing in this game, and that person is the best scorer in the NBA.
T.J. Warren.
And his name is T.J. Warren.
All right, you're doing it for him.
A Warren jersey.
You should wear a Warren jersey to enrage Heat fans because you are. You're totally counterfeit. You have no business on this screen. How good are the seats, Billy? If it's 100% chance, how good are Stugatz's virtual seats? Are they will he be courtside?
I believe if things go the way they're supposed to, that we may have him in the VIP
this
seats.
This is unbelievable. Yeah.
I think.
Oh,
I don't
better
wanna,
be
I don't
or VIP me
company.
Is getting up and leaving. I mean, how about that?
It is all about the Benjamins, baby.
This is close to actually happening. And the only thing that's going to screw it up is the thing that's going to screw it up. The thing that always screws it up.
Thanks.
303 Protectant. We've been married a long time, dude. Everybody here knows you. Everyone here will not believe that you are going to be there until we actually see you on television. You showed up late to my wedding and flicked a cigarette in the bushes on your way in wearing sneakers. Like, it is not an act. He is this gross. 303, that was my wedding. That was the happiest day of my life. That was my wedding.
That was also after a shower in the neighbor's driveway.
Yes, the neighbor showed up and accused you of brushing your teeth in his driveway. You guys think we're lying. He showed up with an unkempt shirt and, furthermore, upstaged the bride while flicking a heater into the bushes.
Sorry.
He set a small fire in a wonderful wedding garden because he had to get a few puffs in immediately after brushing his teeth in a driveway. Christ almighty, you're disgusting. All right, Stugatz, we've got some serious societal stuff going on. The owner of the Dream in Atlanta, just a real big political opportunist, is basically overseeing a revolt of her players who are wearing T-shirts against their owner. This is not something you see a whole lot in your male sports. Publicly against their owner, wearing the shirts of who she's competing against, Kelly Loeffler is competing against in Georgia for a political seat. And this is not something you see very often. And what you see happening in college football right now is not something you see very often. And I want to get into the serious societal sports stuff, Stugatz, but we have some Roy sound here to make fun of. So which is that I'm supposed to do? Am I supposed to do serious societal sports guy in the new ESPN lineup with Mike Greenberg and Max Kellerman? Or do we just make fun of Roy for being terrible at this yesterday in a way that doesn't have a whole lot of precedent on our show?
Let's make fun of Roy.
Okay. So here's where we are with Roy Bellamy, and here's where we are with Baron Davis. Baron Davis is going to join us, I think, at noon. Where's that poll stand on whether the audience? Baron Davis has been very polarizing, as we have just simply, over three appearances by Baron Davis, we sink more and more into the quicksand, sort of making fun of all of what the interview construct is with an athlete, because he's urinating on everything here. He will not answer a question. He's given us nothing in the way of insight. He is only here to promote himself and his brand, and we have basically desecrated the sports cathedral by allowing him to promote every damn thing in the universe that he's a part of.
Now, the poll right now at Lebatard Show on Twitter, and we're right around 4,000 votes. So 57% of the audience said, yes, Baron Davis should return today at noon.
All right, so we need to figure out a way to clean this up, because as I said, it's been terrible. Now, yesterday, something that happened, and wonderful by being terrible, like we're okay with how terrible it's been worse each time. And yesterday, Roy Bellamy, as we sat there and tried to do the show, and Baron Davis was refusing to talk to white or Latin people and only taking questions from a black person in a situation that was, you know, basically revolutionary. It was revolt, what was happening yesterday on the radio. But you would think that Roy and Baron Davis would have had slightly more chemistry than they did, because Roy was terrible, 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 and then he just fell apart and quit. So here are the three examples of Roy and Baron Davis having absolutely the worst possible chemistry two people in radio broadcasting could ever have. Roy, can you please ask Baron Davis the question to see if we can get a better response?
What's up, my brother? What is your worst investment pitch? Oh, everything's going on all right. What's up, my brother? Do you like pineapples on pizza?
What's up, bro?
Roy, your timing's exceptional. It's exceptional.
What's happening, brother? Would you eat an animal?
Roy, how do you get that wrong three times in a row, Roy?
I have to fill in the pauses. I got to fill in the silence. There was 2 seconds of silence.
How was that possible? Go ahead and ask the question.
Would you eat an animal into extinction? to see, now you
oh, for the love
me.
Of God, Roy.
To make sure that you survive.
Hey, Roy, say it our way. Hey, Roy, say it our way, man. Say it with your chest, Roy.
All right, Stugatz, I'm telling you, I'm putting it in the Cody Hall of Fame. It really? Is among what? The worst things that has ever happened around here. 20 years doing this. What? How is Roy going to defend himself? Is there any defense? How do you feel? We all have our things around here that perpetually make us cringe, right? I really engulfed. I breached the water and I engulfed Billy the day of his home run call, his big moment. Every time I hear that, I feel great shame when I hear that sound. What is your greatest shame?
It's me asking Ludacris how much his watch is worth. That and the first question of the Chuck Norris interview.
All right, let me write these down here.
I'm still living with those, man, and those happened a long, long time ago, both of them, and they still scar me till this day.
Okay,
I think about them every day.
The Chuck Norris interview, you are going in the Wayback Machine. Oh. That is 15 years old. So we will see if we can find all of that sound and do some reminiscing here. But first, I want to interview Roy because I want to know where Roy's degree of shame is as Chris roars with pink and red laughter. Chris, how are you experiencing what's happening right here? Are you feeling bad for Roy because we've all been there?
Oh, I mean, yes. I'm glad that this is on somebody else for once and not me. I'm enjoying this more than anything. I'm looking at Roy's face, and he doesn't seem to be enjoying it that much. That's what I was laughing at.
I know, but that's always Roy's face. Like, that's just Roy's face. What causes you the greatest shame, Chris, when you rehear it, a moment of yours where you were just so incompetent that upon rehearing it, you want to just back away from the microphone and not have anyone look at you?
I have a Rolodex to choose from, but I think the original Tyron Smith, Tyrod Taylor, that whole rejoin is definitely an embarrassing moment for me. And then the second one is something that I did for you, Dan, when I told you Serge Ibaka's name was like 12 words.
Now, it's the worst when these things happen on a Friday and you have to carry him around the entire weekend. You don't get the next day's show to kind of shake it off and make up for your mistakes. I've been carrying around the Chuck Norris one for nearly a decade. I don't think Roy's carried this around at all, to be honest with you.
Guys, remember when Tony said the best time to take a nap was during the witching hour? That was so dumb, too.
That was a good one.
I disagree, Stugatz. I'm going to carry this around for, you know, the rest of the month.
All right.
I mean, yeah, it's because it was that bad, Stugatz. How about you, Billy? Do you have a moment? Is it your Charlie moment where you went home and you couldn't get spit out a thought? Do you have one great shame?
I mean, I've learned to kind of just try to black out what happens between 10 and 1 every day because I know it's just going to be negative thoughts my way. So I try to like just forget everything that happens. It's the only way I cope with it, that and drinking.
Okay, so we're going to try and get all of those sounds to replay them for you. We're going to put Roy to work to see if he can redeem himself finding all of these sounds so that we can play them in the next segment here, Stugatz, because I want to have them compete against each other. I feel like this is going to be one hell of a shameful because that's as bad as anything I've heard anyone around here do. I just put it in the Greg Cody Hall of Fame. Do you know how hard it is to get in there? You have to be unbelievably bad to get in there.
It's the hardest room in sports to get into. It's the hardest club to be a member of, the Greg Cody Hall of Fame. And Roy's first ballot. This happened yesterday. I mean, and you're putting him right into the Cody Hall of Fame.
I think so. We're going to get to all of those sounds in just a second, but I'm going to get in here, my morsel of serious societal stuff.
All right.
I'm going to get it in here. You ready, Stugatz?
I am ready.
So Colorado State, and you've seen what's happening throughout college football here, where UConn is getting out of the game. They're the first ones to bow out, and there's just a great deal of unpleasantness about the idea of putting this literal a value, Stugatz, on human health and human risk, where you're willing to make your student employees who work for you in a way the other students don't, you're literally being so overt that you're sending them into this for the dollars. Like, that's what you'd be doing if you get college football off the ground.
Where you have NFL players who are making tons of dollars saying, no thanks, not this year.
So baseball is going to get to the end of this, even if they have to suit up 18 new Marlins every day because they're going to get to their money. Basketball is going to apparently do it a lot cleaner, although I guess there's a lot of time left to find out how that one could get screwed up. But at least for now, we have pretty good optimism that no one's testing positive and that that bubble thing works. But as it relates to college football and some of the things you see happening in college football, where the players are tired of coaches like Kirk Ferentz or their assistants treating them as plantation overlords, where they use even some of the language while standing over them that is abusive. While this is happening, are you reading some of the details coming out of Colorado State as the Pac-12 comes upside down here because those guys want their money now? If we're going to make it an overt business transaction, the Pac-12 is saying, give us our money then. If you're going to make us go into this as young people and you're going to assign a value to us risking human health in the middle of a pandemic, give us dollars. It's rarely ever laid this bare. And Colorado State, Stugatz, is telling its players reportedly, don't report COVID. Go around some of the protocols. Threatening players reportedly with playing time taken away if they're quarantined. Stugatz, that's Colorado State. They haven't played a meaningful down in their entire existence. That's not Alabama. That's Colorado bleeping State. How poisoned is the injustice in this entire system when Colorado State dehumanizes its body so much that it's like, don't tell people about the sickness. It's real important that we play one down as Colorado State. Like, none of you remember anything about Colorado State or anything they've done across however many years they've played football. It's a nothing nowhere program that exists to only lose to Colorado. And they're sending their bodies in there like that. Stugatz telling them to hide things at the dirty bottom of the ladder in college football. At the bottom of the ladder. And you wonder why the kid at Washington State tape records his coach illegally so that you can hear for yourself this fight over money as black kids get sent out there to not make money and all the white administrators make a ton of money.
Baron Davis going to join us. Our daily conversation with him in just a second on the
Hold
Shelf
on,
Ends Off
hold
Performance
on,
Live.
Hold on, because Billy is shaking his head sadly. Has this already gone off the rails? I don't see Amin El-Hassan. I don't see Baron Davis. I see Larry Fink's box. I see a box for this guy, Larry Fink, again. But I don't see Baron Davis or Amin. Billy, you're in charge here. So what's happening?
I mean, I can't hold their hands and make them dial in. They're supposed to be here. This is why you can't trust Amin. I'm not even upset with Baron, all right? Baron's a superstar. Amin's Amin, all right? Amin, look, we want you on the show. Come on the show on time, please, Amin. Jeez, it's not that complicated. Larry's here every day on time.
Where is he? Where is Amin?
I texted him. He's not even answering. I don't know where he is. I don't even know why he's coming. God. Amin doesn't want to be here. Larry wants to be here. We should co-host with Larry. Larry, every break, Larry's giving us hot takes about the Dolphins.
Unbelievable, yeah. Man.
Yep. So who's it going to be? Is it going to be Amin, Baron, or just Larry?
Hold on,
Fink?
I'm gonna FaceTime Amin right now while we're talking, and I'm just gonna yell at him. Go ahead, right. Stugatz.
All right, you got Dolphins wide receiver Albert Wilson has opted out of the upcoming NFL season.
Breaking news is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
In the NBA,
you know what's going to happen?
What?
They're both going to be here for Jerry O'Connell. That's what's going to happen.
Oh, okay.
I just got a text from Amin. I'm on my way. Like, what does that even mean? I'm on my way.
Tell him to go the other way. I mean, enough.
For the love of God. Jerry O'Connell is going to be on the call now with Baron Davis? Does Baron Davis know Jerry O'Connell? Maybe Jerry O'Connell can get something out of Baron Davis.
Well, I'll tell you what, Baron wants to get into movies badly, and Jerry O'Connell's a guy I think that could help. He might be our guy, actually. I mean, tell Amin to walk slower. Grizzlies forward Jaren Jackson Jr. was ruled out for the remainder of the season after suffering a meniscus tear in his left knee. It's a big loss for the Grizz. And finally, pentatherophobia is the fear of your mother-in-law. That's what that is. SportsCenter is brought to you by Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief. Works fast and you won't stink. It's pharmacist recommended odor-free pain relief for muscle pain, backache, strains, sprains, even arthritis. There is no stinging or burning involved. It's simple pain relief. Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief works fast and you won't stink. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
So Baron Davis, who's a creative, he's a writer, he likes to act, he's a performer. He has desecrated our show for three straight days, urinated all over it, just taken a bat to the entire athlete interview construct by just doing whatever the hell he wants to do. And now we try to butter him up with Amin Al-Hassan if he ever shows up, to see if the relationship with Amin Al-Hassan will extract some information from Baron Davis. But Amin, of course, who promised to rescue us and save us, is late, and so maybe we'll get to that, maybe we won't. In the interim, the responsibility falls to me again to try to get something out of Baron Davis. So, Baron, thank you for joining us. I hope your week has been wonderful. We are very grateful for you being here today. Thank you for making an appearance, if indeed you are there, because all I see right now is the box with Larry Fink in it. Is Baron Davis even there, Billy, or is Baron Davis no longer there either?
No, Baron Davis was never there. When Baron Davis is there, you'll see Baron Davis's face. Maybe Amin and Baron are together, and they misunderstood, and they thought that you wanted them to hang out.
Dan, let me give you a, because knowing the inventory is a very important part of business, okay? What you have, what you don't have, what's in stock, what's not in stock. It's just me, you, and Larry Fink right now, okay? I mean, that's it. That's all you got, all right? Me, you, and Fink, all right?
All right, great. So I've got Roy telling me now through pantomime, and this is a good way to do a radio show. He's giving me the telephone signal with his hand. He's giving me, which means Baron Davis is now calling us on a phone line, or Amin is calling us on a phone line. I don't know what the hand to the ear means, but Roy now presently has two phones to his ear, and I don't have any information I need to do this radio show.
Or Jerry O'Connell's segment early, which might help with the situation if Baron's late.
Roy, who is on the phone and what are we doing?
Larry Fink is currently trying to reach Baron Davis to join him on a conference call.
Okay, great. So thank you for making the phone symbol that Larry Fink is still there. I appreciate all of your help in that regard. Larry Fink is still there. Let's move on. Yes, Billy.
Well, it seems like Larry might not be there because he's trying to track down Baron. So don't go to Larry either if you wanted
good.
To go to Larry.
Yeah, just drown here by myself. Okay, very good. The general confidence you expect from this show. But rest assured, everybody, Amin is on his way. Whatever the hell that means. I don't know what that even means. Like, I'm waiting for him to appear in a Zoom call. So in the interim.
Nothing has ever comforted me less than knowing Amin Al-Hassan is on the way. I mean.
All right. I don't know what's going to happen here, but we've blown the time to this segment. So maybe Baron Davis, Jerry O'Connell, and Amin Al-Hassan will be on in the next segment, America's Greatest Produced Radio Show. Maybe that's something we'll do next segment. In the interim, what we will do is make fun of Stugatz for what we believe to be the oldest shame that there is around here, which is about 15 years ago, Chuck Norris facts were making their way around the internet viral. You know, death once had a near Chuck Norris experience. Chuck Norris makes onions cry. Chuck Norris can hear sign language. Chuck Norris counted to infinity twice. Chuck Norris doesn't do push-ups. He pushes the earth down. You know, Chuck Norris. Pajama jokes like the boogeyman wears Chuck Norris pajamas, a bunch of these. They're all over the internet 15 years ago, and we are scared because we built up the mythology of Chuck Norris so much that Chuck Norris was joining us. Now, Stugatz, and I haven't done this, I think, before or since, but I was so scared that I threw the first question to Stugatz.
Yes.
Stugatz was not in any way ready to ask the first question of Chuck Norris. So he was just very surprised that I would toss the show on his lap in that circumstance. So what do you recall of this instance, Stugatz?
So we have, it's rare where we stay with something for a couple of days, and we stayed with this Chuck Norris theme for a couple of days, much the way we're trying to stay with this Baron Davis theme. But this really engulfed the entire show, not portions of it, the entire show. And the big crescendo was to get Chuck on the show. And Dan, as you pointed out, we finally got Chuck as a guest on the show. And you had never, in the few years we had done the show, you have never, because you are one of the best interviewers we have, right? You, not on this show, you're the best interview on the show. I'm talking in general, period.
No proof of that with Baron Davis, who is now here, by the way, listening to all this, as we have 1 minute left in his segment.
Okay, and so all I remember, I was nervous to begin with, but I was in such shock that one of the best interviewers we have in journalism threw it to me, Stugatz,
all right,
for the first question.
So Baron Davis is there listening to this. We don't have time for Baron Davis. Maybe he'll join us with Jerry O'Connell. Maybe Amin is still on his way. But here is Stugatz. What he was trying to say was some version of in Jurassic Park, when you see the T-Rex chasing the Jeep, it wasn't the T-Rex chasing the Jeep. It was Chuck Norris chasing the T-Rex. That was what Stugatz was trying to say to Chuck Norris. This is what he said instead.
All right. We're going to see whether these, any of these okay. here, can crack Chuck Norris's top 10. Now, your favorite involves the Tyrannosaurus Rex. You want to do yours?
Yeah, that Chuck Norris was chasing the Tyrannosaurus Rex. The Rex was not chasing the Jeep.
Okay, in Jurassic Park. Way to screw that up. I kind of blindsided him.
I didn't know you
there.
Were
That's my fault. Way to deliver that one. Good to start that way.
All right, maybe Baron, are you there? I'm sorry we've wasted
Baron
your time.
What
is Baron laughing at? Yes, he loves the destruction of the show. We're going to come back maybe with Jerry O'Connell, Baron Davis, and Amin Ohassan. Baron, wait right there. Sorry.
Awkward transition. Time for some ads.
He may have just hung up on us. I don't blame him. I don't blame him at all. Play the Chuck Norris again so you can hear Stugatz stammer and stumble around here as Chuck Norris listens to it, and Chuck Norris gives us a fake courtesy laugh.
All right, we're going to see whether these, any of these okay. here, can crack Chuck Norris's top 10. Now, your favorite involves the Tyrannosaurus Rex. You want to do yours?
Yeah, that Chuck Norris was chasing the Tyrannosaurus Rex. The Rex was not chasing the Jeep.
Okay, in Jurassic Park. Way to screw that up. I kind of blindsided
I didn't know
him
you
there.
Were throwing
That's
it to
my
me
fault.
There.
What it was, way to deliver that one. Good to start that way.
And that's why 13 years later, I carry it around. I mean, seriously.
Yes. And lest you think we evolve or get any better at doing radio, I show you Exhibit A, ladies and gentlemen, on what we just did with Baron Davis, Amin Ohassan, and Larry Fink. Advance Auto Parts, people. Keep your car healthy. Larry Fink is Baron Davis's publicist. Larry Fink is the only person still on this Zoom call. I think Baron Davis just hung up on us.
I think Baron's with us. I think Amin's with us. I don't know if Jerry O'Connell's with us. I know Larry Fink is with us.
All right, hold on a second. Hold on. Hold on. Yeah. Billy, why are you wagging a finger at us? Will someone tell me, please, what we're doing around here?
Well, Baron's back now, but he wasn't with us a second ago. Amin's here, not that we wanted him here. And Larry's still here to join us.
Jerry O'Connell next time.
All right. Give me a second. But Baron's here and Amin is here. Jerry O'Connell will be in 15 minutes. Larry Fink's still here. If you missed any of the show, you can listen to all 3 hours of the Dan Le Batard Show, plus our Miami only hour.
Unbelievable. That this keeps getting worse. It's unbelievable.
Or better, depending on your viewpoint. And our Best of Podcast on demand in the ESPN app. And subscribe to the Le Batard and Friends Podcast Network featuring South Beach Sessions, Stupidity, Mystery Crate. Please rate and subscribe. New episodes posted every week wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Billy, help me out. Put your cereal down because you've done such a good job. And, you know, we really should celebrate with a bunch of food based on how we've been produced for the last 20 minutes. Can you tell me what the bleep we're going to try and do now? Because I just heard on the call before Baron Davis went to the bathroom, when you guys asked Baron Davis, hey, would you prefer to talk to Amin Ohassan or Jerry O'Connell? His response was, who the hell is Amin Ohassan? And we were going to have Amin on because of the kinship with Baron Davis to establish a chemistry between them. Can you explain to me what it is that we're doing here, please? As Amin has popped up on the Zoom, but I only have the glamour shot of Baron Davis, who may be at the bathroom. And again, Larry Fink is here, but I don't really need him. And Jerry O'Connell is now not, but will be here in 15 minutes. Please help me here, Billy. Please.
Well,
Well, just a point of clarification, it's split pea soup because I was vomiting earlier because this is going so long. That's all that I can process. So Amin is here, Baron's here, Larry's here. We thought that Jerry might confuse things a little bit. So Jerry's going to join us in a little bit. Oh, Baron's gone. Baron's back. Baron, sometimes we can see his face. Sometimes we'll see his glamour shot. Amin is, again, here the whole time, 15 minutes late, which has kind of confused everything. And Baron did not know who Amin was. And then he said, Amin's my dog. So he does know who Amin is, we think, but we're not sure.
All right, congratulations, Amin. Do you want to butter up a Baron Davis who may or may not be there because I think he might be at the bathroom? Can you get any information out of Baron Davis because you guys are dogs?
Hey, Baron.
Yeah, he's still in the bathroom. All right, so let's cover some more of this. Amin, you said you were going to come to the rescue. I salute you for coming to the rescue in such a spectacular fashion. 15 minutes late, and all you've given us is, hey, Baron, he doesn't seem to know who you are, even though he's pretending he's your dog, and Baron Davis is in the bathroom.
Dan, my people have had 400 years stolen from them. You can wait 15 minutes.
Hmm. And Dan, just so you're aware, Larry Fink is indeed still here. Okay.
Larry, can you hear me, Larry? Hold on. I want to talk to Larry for a second.
Baron's gone again.
Oh, for the love of God.
But Larry's here. I mean, Larry right, is
well,
here.
Is Larry unmuted? Is Larry unmuted on the Zoom call? Larry, can you hear me?
Dan, I can hear you perfectly.
All right. Always excellent. There. Oh, look, Roy's telling me Baron's on the phone. Larry, what's going on with your client? Like, why isn't he where he's supposed to be? Why can't he control his bowels? Like, what, Larry?
You're lashing out at Mr. Reliability. Larry's always here.
Larry, what is happening here?
Hey, leave Larry out of this. First of all, I'm going to tell you what's happening. Right? I'm going to speak for Baron Davis real quick.
All right.
Yeah, of course your phone line stinks. Yeah, of course. That's exactly the way that one's going to go. Baron, get to a damn Zoom line so that we can talk to you and Amino hasn't can butter you up even though you don't know who he is and your dog.
Hey, man, let me tell you. I got my name on the flyer now. It's me and you guys. That's going to be the name of the new show, ESPN Cut the Check.
Nobody wants this, Baron. It has been awful. You have purposely made it worse ever.
Look, I went and took headshots. I had a photo shoot. I worked on this song last night, this Christmas song. Man, I'm going to pitch it to Rihanna tomorrow. I got a lot of stuff to do, man. I'm a pretty big deal. You know what I mean?
Barry, you know, we got the animation for you too, man. You just holla at me. We'll get the animation done. We'll dance this up real nice.
Good. Who am I speaking with?
Oh, man. Damn, man.
That was Larry.
That is Amin El. That is Amin El Hassan. Is who that is? That's Amin El Hassan.
Hey, oh, what's up, Amin? Hey, bro, they was calling you Amin El Hassan before you got into the Zoom. They was like, yo, you know Amin El Hassan? We gonna have some Amin El Hassans after this call. I was like, man, why? I was like, no, seriously, who's up? They was like Amin El Hassan. And then they finally said your name, and I said, oh, you talking about? That's my dog. I got to rock with my dog. He a legend in this.
Amin, get something out of him. Please get some information out of him so I can explain to ESPN executives why we have had four straight days of Baron Davis giving us nothing.
So, Baron, you had some fun times in Golden State, and I understand that you are making content out of those times in terms of storytelling, perhaps using some unconventional methods. Are we allowed to talk about this, or is this still hush-hush?
No, I'm allowed to talk about it, man. That is an excellent question, you know?
It's so bad.
That man came with that energy, fired off. No, you know what I mean?
But that's not the way you do this.
Fat face.
Yes, Baron.
It's fat face. That's how you do it.
Baron, you are also a fat face. Baron is also a fat face.
Yeah, hey, no lie. I have gained some weight. I'm notorious for getting it worse. But now, to answer your question, you know, I've been working on a lot. Like, so I've been connecting with teammates, looking at, you know, their personal documentaries. And then for me, I've been sitting kind of quietly writing, you know, what I would consider would be, you know, like my take on the We Believe doc, you know. So I've just been sitting kind of crafting it. Been talking to a lot of the players, Monte, Stack, Matt Barnes, and just trying to get everybody together, Al Harrington, so we can be able to tell this story and hopefully be able to go out to Hawaii and catch Nelly, hang out with Nelly. But for me, I think it's an incredible story considering, you know, that team was only together, you know, for 2 or 3 months, right? And, you know,
I don't know what we're doing next here, but it'll involve some combination of Jerry O'Connell, Baron Davis, and Amin El-Hassan. Hopefully, much less Amin El-Hassan.
And Larry Fink.
And Larry Fink.
All guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And right now on that Shell Pennzoil Performance Line is Baron Davis, Amin El-Hassan, Larry Fink, and Jerry O'Connell. Now, Jerry's got a new movie out, The Secret, Dare to Dream. It's available now on demand. Again, The Secret, Dare to Dream is available now on demand. And Jerry will join us, as will Baron, as will Larry Fink, as will Amin El-Hassan in just a second. Here's your SportsCenter update. Joyce McConnell, president of Colorado State University, said Tuesday she was launching an immediate and objective investigation into the athletic department following allegations that student athletes have been intimidated and threatened as leaders sought to disregard COVID-19 protocols. College sports, everyone. Grizzlies forward Jaren Jackson Jr. was ruled out for the remainder of the season after suffering a meniscus tear in his left knee. And finally, people who daydream often are more likely to be intelligent and creative, according to researchers at Georgia Tech. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day. Good luck, Dan.
All right, yeah, thanks. I appreciate all the help, as always. Larry Fink, as he mentioned, publicist for Baron Davis, still with us. And Baron Davis is here, and Amin El-Hassan is here. And I've got to explain all of this to Jerry O'Connell, the 2004 Kids' Choice Award winner for Best Fart in a Movie. Jerry O'Connell is joining us now on ESPN Radio. Billy just put his head in his hands. What? That's not something I should have said, Billy. You think I'm insulting Jerry O'Connell by starting the interview that way? We're going to talk about The Secret, Dare to Dream.
You know what you're doing.
Okay, very good. Jerry, do you know the people who are on the line with you? Do you know who Baron Davis
is? I know. Of course I do. I live for him. I love him. I agree with everything Baron Davis says.
Okay, well, Baron Davis.
Wow.
you wow. live.
Where's this man? I can't even find him in the Zoom.
He's on the phone.
We can't see you on the Zoom. It's just your glamour shot, Baron. Jerry, man. Jerry, do you know who Amin El-Hassan is?
That's my guy. I can see him. I know my dog. That's
not
my
you,
dog.
Baron. Not
but
you.
But I do want to say. But I do want to say my specialty is I do a Stu Gatz imitation, and I would like to do it for all of you right now.
Of course, but can you answer my question instead of Baron Davis? Can you answer my question about whether you know who Amin El-Hassan is?
I know exactly who Amin El-Hassan is. This is me answering your question as Stu Gatz. I think that's a pretty good imitation, personally. Yeah, thank you, Stu Gatz. Thank you.
It's not good.
Thank you.
It's,
love it.
It is a dreadful. Why is Amin applauding
it.
That?
No, it isn't.
It's a terrible impersonation of Stu Gatz.
I think it's perfect. Let me tell you, if Stu Gatz is ever on SNL, I should definitely portray him.
I don't have any idea who you're doing. It is not Stu Gatz. Amin, why are you applauding this?
Why are you throwing cold water on this? He just offered to do Stu Gatz on SNL. You should be all for this, Dan. Stop hating because he didn't do a Dan Le Batard impersonation. That's why you mad?
Yeah. Well, he's a hater for sure.
That is Baron Davis.
Thank
here
you, Baron.
With Jerry O'Connell. Baron, would you like to pitch Jerry O'Connell a movie or a project or anything?
No, man, I want to say one to Jerry. I don't know if you remember this, but one night in New York City, you saved my life, man. And you were out to dinner with your wife. We're at a restaurant. And I remember that I had an emergency phone call and my phone died. And I saw you and your wife over there having a nice little dinner. And I walked over and asked to borrow your phone charger. Man, and you set my phone right next to you. You didn't check my messages, nothing, dude. You saved my life that night. I am forever indebted to you.
You are absolutely right. The restaurant was called, oh, man, what's it called? It's that place right there on Broadway.
I see the face of Baron Davis. Yes, you're in the Zoom. Yes, you're calling me fat face. Hold on, Jerry. Forgive me for just a second. Is that the reason that you live for Baron Davis? Because that day you saved his life. I think there are some Hollywood overstatements being made right here.
No, I'm a huge fan of his, not only as a player, but also as a commentator. I think it's great to get true player insight into NBA games.
We haven't gotten any of those in four days with Baron Davis.
Jerry, we have a platform called Slick Sports.
Oh, for the love of God. For the love of God.
We got better, Amin coming over and work with us too, but we got much better, like, guys than these guys in this room. and it's more athletes.
Yeah,
so does
anybody have a voice for radio like Stu Gott?
Again, exactly. With this, O'Connell, you're going back to this. It's a terrible Stu
Gott. The Secret Dare to Dream is available now on demand. Jerry O'Connell's new movie, Shower Me with Praise. I mean,
I manifested this Stu Gott's imitation. I manifested it. I used the laws of attraction.
Can you please give me your acceptance speech, Jerry O'Connell, for the 2004 Kids Choice Award winner for favorite fart in a movie for your work in Kangaroo Jack?
I want to thank everybody who was a part of Kangaroo Jack and part of this farting scene. I know it was not the easiest scene to do, and to get into the role, I actually farted and actually had to do the take so many times, I actually pooped myself just in time.
Okay, very good. Excellent work, Jerry O'Connell. Yes,
excellent.
I mean. Yes,
excellent.
I mean. Please be quiet, Baron.
No, Barry. No.
I mean, no. What do you have, and who do you want to ask the question of, Baron Davis or Jerry O'Connell?
This question is for Jerry O'Connell. Jerry, you won that award for Kangaroo Jack. I have a bad movie podcast called Cinephobe that myself and Zach Harper do.
Oh,
on that podcast, we reviewed Kangaroo Jack 2. You were not in the sequel. Can you talk about whether or not there were any considerations for you to be in it, or did you decide to move on?
Yeah. No, I desperately wanted to be into it, but negotiations were intense, and sadly they decided to go without myself and my co-star Anthony Anderson, and it's something that still bothers me to this day. It's very upsetting.
But you know what, Jerry? I think me and you are the new you and Anthony Anderson. You know what I mean? I think that's it's a blessing in disguise, if you ask me. I think me and you together, like, you know, it's like buddy comedy, things like that. You know, I got some ideas, man. I got some ideas that can help, you know, blow up my career with your help, and that'll be cool.
Tell them about the puppets,
well,
Baron.
I want to get your number, Jerry. I want to get your number because I want to invite you to my puppet show.
I'm going to come to it. I want to play a puppet that is actually Stu Gott.
Oh, for the love of God. Again. Again.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Publicize your movie as your terrible Stu Gott's The Secret Dare to Dream, Jerry O'Connell, number one on Apple TV in its debut. Go ahead. As your terrible Stu Gott's, go ahead and publicize your movie.
I just want to say, as Stu Gatz, I read The Secret, the book, 15 years ago as part of Oprah's book club, and I was so moved by the laws of attraction, and I'm so excited that now I'm premium video on demand, not just regular video on demand, premium video on demand. You can get The Secret Day to Dream. It's an amazing, motivational, very positive movie. If you read the book, you're going to love it. If you haven't, you're going to love it.
All right. Thank you, Jerry. Excellent work. We appreciate it again.
I love you guys.
Thank you for being on.
I love you so much. I really do.
I love you more, Jerry.
You get my phone charger anytime. I don't care if I'm on zero, Mr. Davis. You get my phone charger. Right. I love you guys.
Very good. Take care. Thank you.
The only one still remaining is Larry Fink.
That's right. Everyone else is gone. And the odd, they're the odd remnants of a meme chortling with laughter as he gets a podcast plug in the middle of that.
Splash.
I mean, you can get whatever plug you want on my show, man.
I thought he was gone. You know I thought I mean? We got rid of Baron Davis.
No, I'm here. No, I'm here.
All right.
Come on, man.
Thanks. Billy.
Thanks, BD.
Billy, one of the greatest questions ever asked in a small window. Tell him about the puppet show, Baron. That was hugely efficient right there.